Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Play it once, Sam, for old time's sake.
Hoo-ah!
I didn't get a harump out of that guy.
Did you say, wait, wait?
Hey, what happened?
Woody Allen's one movie about wheat, yes, and Russian literature at the same time, only he could put those two together. Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, welcome.
Hi, John.
It's Friday, time to talk movies, and of course the big one is Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, with Ben Affleck playing Superman. And who's Batman here?
Ben Affleck is Batman,
Henry Cavill is Superman. That's right. So everyone wants Superman to win because of the whole Jennifer Garner thing. So emotionally, everyone's...
That's right. Everyone's been rooting against Ben Affleck back since they announced his casting as Batman in the first place. That was 2013, I think.
So with that backstory, let's hear a clip.
What's your position, the Bat Vigilante in Gotham?
Daily Planet. Wait, do I own this one? Or is that the other guy?
Civil liberties are being trampled on in your city. Good people living in fear.
Don't believe everything you hear, son.
Now, this extrapolates quite a lot about the chemistry of these two together here in the comics.
What you have is the sort of odd situation of Clark Kent accusing Batman of being a vigilante with no oversight. And Batman, of course, thinks that Superman is the exact same thing. So we had this sort of odd battle between, I would say, sort of pot and kettle, basically, fighting each other. I don't really think it works, and I'm going to raise an objection. Why are Metropolis and Gotham suddenly kind of two different cities across a harbor? I always thought those two cities were mutually exclusive versions of New York City. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't
quite get that. And there's a
Budapest.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it doesn't work. I think there's a lot of nonsensical plot holes in this film. And the whole Batman versus Superman kind of title card bout is really just wheel spinning until we get to an entirely different, other unrelated climax, which I promised Warner Brothers I would not spoil for my readers. So there you go.
A franchise that jumps the shark with two sharks in this particular case.
But there's more to come. Justice League.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Speaking of franchise possibilities, I'm kind of surprised that My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 didn't get made a decade ago. Here's a clip.
You all want to do this?
Of course we do!
Thank you. Thank you so much. Maybe everyone could pick a category. Food, glassware.
The wedding is on! Pick a category, report to me. I'm in charge.
Ashley, Thea, you're not.
Yes, it's best. No, it's what everyone wants, dear.
Now, the mom is back. Right.
Yeah, pretty much everyone is back. Lainey Kazan, that's Andrea Martin, right, as her aunt. Nia Vardalos, apparently, of course, is back. John Corbett, who plays Ian. So you have the whole principal cast is here. I think the problem is when you've got a movie called My Big Fat Greek Wedding and you want to have My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, you're really going to start reaching for where's that wedding coming from. And so in this case, it comes from her parents, who find out that their old world marriage certificate is incomplete. And so they want to have their own wedding. But of course, mom refuses unless the dad will repropose, and he's too stubborn. And that's the kind of material you have here. And it's pretty thin. And it just doesn't have that great organic, natural feel that the first one did.
Maybe it should have been My Big Fat Ukrainian Wedding. Just move on to a different ethnicity,
something,
perhaps. Yeah. But is it the case that My Big Fat Greek Wedding is the most profitable film of all time, something like that?
I guess. I mean, it was a massive, massive hit. I think that film cost something like $10 million or maybe even $5 million, and it made 300 something at the box office. It was the Rocky of its day, you know. It was this sort of one woman juggernaut, and it was great. I loved that film. It doesn't work here. The material just isn't there.
Eye in the Sky. What do you think of this?
This is the big drone warfare drama. Helen Mirren, Alan Rickman, posthumous role for him.
Right.
He's great in it. Great cast. Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad. What you basically have is a classical ethical dilemma. There's a terrorist bunker with some suicide bombers in it preparing to go out and blow up something or someone. And there's a little girl standing in the way. Do we bomb that bunker and blow up the little girl, or do we spare her life? That's the dilemma here.
Is it relevant, the morality of the drones here? Does it work, or is it more just a spy action film?
I found it really just kind of a very sentimental exercise in ethics, and I didn't think it illuminated anything about drone warfare for me.
The unethical Rafer Guzman, who prefers immorality to morality, film critic for Newsday. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, John. You too.